Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest, who will answer questions, is what we call a world champion. And that, of course, is for my money, the best manager in baseball. And if I had a lot of it, I'd hire him to be the manager of the New York Mets. Is the great Terry Francona.
We find a way. Yes. That's for sure.
Terry.
I hear there's an opening, too.
Yes. Joe and Evan here in New York. Thank you very much for coming on. How are you?
Hi, Terry.
Good, guys. How you doing?
Well, fantastic.
We'd be better, because we're Met fans, we'd be better if all this stuff didn't go down. I got to tell you that, Terry.
Yeah, I think we all would. Anybody that cares about the game, you know, you kind of feel like you got kicked in the stomach a little bit.
Well, how do you feel? Because you have been the manager of a team that's been very good over the last couple of years, got to a World Series, we all know. Do you feel in any way cheated because you've competed with the Houston Astros, you've competed with the Boston Red Sox, another team under investigation? How do you personally as a competitor feel about what's come out over the last few days?
You know what? I don't know. And I don't mean to, you know, I mean, as far as commenting on what the commissioner did, I think it's a good thing to leave his decisions, you know, what he saw fit to do. As far as how I feel, I've tried to process that a little bit the last couple of days, and I honestly don't know. You spend so much time trying to keep your house in order that you don't spend much time thinking about other teams. I mean, when Houston beat us, Verlander and Cole pitched games 1 and 2, and they overwhelmed us. That didn't have anything to do with video or, you know, we couldn't hit the ball off of them. So, again, you know, whatever happened, and the guys are going to pay the they're going to be punished, and they're going to pay their penalty, and then hopefully when it's over, they'll be back in uniform like they belong.
You know, Terry, one of the things, the problems that I've had with all of this is that, you know, the no player was named in this, okay? No player except Carlos Beltran. I don't get that. I mean, why does his name come out and nobody else on the team was singled out but him? I got a problem with that.
Well, and again, I'm at a little bit of a loss. Today, you know, I was golfing down in this tournament down here.
God bless you.
I was going on with Chris Russo. And he actually asked me about it, and I didn't even know.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, because I had been out on the course.
Right, right.
You raise a good point. The way I read it was I thought every player that they spoke to had immunity from as long as they told the truth, something like that. I thought I read that.
Right.
You raise a great point. I don't know. It's a great question to ask somebody in charge, and I'm not in charge, and I'm glad.
Well, tell quickly before we get back to talking baseball, this and of course your career. Tell us about the golf tournament you're in. I know there's a lot of great stars in there,
a lot
including
of guys.
Justin Verlander. And I wonder if you said anything to him. But tell us about what you're doing right now.
Well, we're down here playing in this Diamond Resorts event. We play with the LPGA women. But what's more important is they raise a ton of money for the Children's Hospital down here. They do a great job. Mike Flaskey and his people, man, they put on a really good event. And they treat us, I mean, like gold. They have parties every night, and the guys have fun. And the really good golfers, they get competitive. As I get a little older, I'm just glad I finished the round. I felt like I played a football game today, but it's fun, and it's fun to see guys from other sports. I mean, you go out on the driving range, and you know, there's Brian Urlacher and Ray Allen, and I mean, it's fun to see those guys.
What about talking to Terry Francona, of course, the manager of the Cleveland Indians, of course, won a couple championships with the Red Sox as well. What about your team right now, Terry? Give us a little feel as you go into the 2020 season about where the Indians are at.
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think our guys have been pretty open that, you know, every team in our division has really had to take a step back. and kind of do a little bit of a rebuild. And for going on 8 years now, we're trying not to do that. So our guys are, you know, our Chris and Cherney, they're trying to kind of thread that needle where they give, we have a chance to be competitive, not just once out every 3 years, but every year. And because of the market we're in, you know, they got to make some pretty tough decisions. Like we had to trade Kluber this winter.
Right,
nobody
right.
wanted to trade Kluber. I guarantee
right,
you, Chris
right.
Cherney didn't want to trade Kluber. But we're trying to remain competitive in our market. And so because of that, they got to make some really tough decisions.
The toughest is going to be Francisco Lindor. Do you keep in touch like every 30 seconds to make sure they haven't traded him yet? Because I'm sure you know every
no.
second of Lindor.
Yeah, but I also, they're really good about communicating with me. And I know what isn't going on. So even though I might turn on a radio or read something, I know not to panic because I know what, like I said, I know what isn't going on.
Right.
And I know Frankie's going to be our shortstop,
okay.
so I don't get too bent out of shape.
All right. I will, as a Met fan, I'll tell my fellow Met fans, Dodger fans, no Lindor in 2020. He is staying
yeah,
with the Cleveland
yeah.
Indians. Was it difficult? Because it's one thing, you know, you talked about trading Corey Kluber. It's the offseason. When the Bauer deal went down, was that difficult managing that in the middle of a season with the guys that are still in that room? I mean, you guys won 93 games. You're in it. You're in a race. Was that difficult to manage?
Well, you know what? You got to remember that he kind of had that meltdown a couple days before.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
when he
yes.
threw the ball over the,
yes.
the wall?
I was going to ask you
so,
about that.
So, you know, we were kind of battling that too. Like, you know, I had even said I was concerned that maybe some of the guys, maybe he had lost some of the guys in the clubhouse. I'm not sure that, you know, again, a guy goes out and throws a complete game shutout, everybody's going to be happy. But it was definitely a pretty big hiccup. And I was concerned about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's a day and a half later and there's a trade. So
right.
it happened quickly, but I think because of what happened, I don't think you saw a guy. I think they kind of knew it might be time to maybe just change scenery.
I was going to ask as a manager, because one of these epic moments in, I wouldn't say epic moment in Yankee history, but in Mike Mussina's history is when he hand-waved Joe Torre back into the dugout. He's about to take him out. And now it's this moment everybody celebrates. What's that fine line as a manager between being completely shown up, like probably the case in Bauer, and just a guy who's a competitor? And it's okay. Yeah, he may have done that, but, you know, it's because he's a competitor. What's that fine line for you as a manager?
You know what? It's a great point, and I try not to let my ego ever get in the way. You know, I think you have to realize that players, they're playing all out and they're playing for keeps and they're competitive. And just because I've made a decision that they're coming out of the game, they can't always turn that button off right away. And I've had time to think it through and they whip their head around, here you come. So again, I and we talked to our guys before the season about, you know, if you got an issue, I don't have a problem with them having an issue, and I'll explain it to them later. And if I can't explain it to them, shame on me. But I'm not going to do it out there in front of 40,000 people, and I don't want them throwing a ball at me or over me or, you know, like, just, you know, we'll figure it out later. And for the very most part, guys are great. And like I said, if I can't explain it to them, shame on me.
Terry, you were involved, you were the manager of one of the, you know, really historic teams in the history of baseball. I mean, the team that ended the 86-year curse of the Bambino with the Red Sox in 2004. And, of course, another historic thing that happened there as well is, of course, you come back, the only team ever to come back from 3-0 to win a best-of-seven series. How about all of this? Give us the feel of what all that was like, because, you know, that's about as historic as it gets.
You know, it was one of the funnest baseball weeks of my life. I mean, I did, and people always say, well, yeah, you won. I enjoyed, like, the Dave Roberts stolen base. We were down 3-0, and when Dave Roberts was going to steal that base, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I mean, I could, you know, it was like it was in slow motion. I don't think you wait to see if you win to say, oh, that was great. I love the journey. You don't know the ending. Like in 2016, you know, the Cubs came back and beat us in extra innings and about tore your heart out. But I loved every bit of that series. I mean, our guys went above and beyond, and I loved it. I wish we'd have won, but I mean, I still enjoyed the journey.
How did it feel walking into that room to lead the Red Sox for the 2004 season? Because the way 2003 ended, we figured was going to be debated for the next 85 years. Grady Little, Pedro Martinez, they make the managerial change, and here you come after managing the Phillies a few years earlier. What was that pressure like taking over a spot where you got to try to slay the dragon, and you did it in the first year?
You know, I think I was a little naive, and I think it probably helped. I didn't quite know, you know, I was a little bit, not aloof, but I mean, just kind of, some of it went over my head. And I told the guys, though, I said, hey, we don't, you know, it's hard enough to win today or this year. And it's not our fault that somebody didn't win 85 years ago. So let's just go play the way we play, because we didn't get out of the gate very well. It was until mid-season that we kind of caught our stride, and then we really played well. But I knew we had the pitching, and you know, when we brought Schilling in, that was kind of a difference maker. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, just kind of stay out of the way sometimes is the best thing. I mean, you know, Joe Torre was the master of letting the guys just play. He took the bullets and the pressure and he allowed them to play in that fishbowl of New York, but just to play. And I always thought sometimes he didn't get enough credit because he allowed those guys to just play the game.
Again, talking to Terry Francona, of course, now the manager of the Cleveland Indians. And, you know, you got a chance now again. You came close, as you mentioned, with the series against the Cubs, but 1948. That's the last time the Cleveland Indians won. I think it's the longest drought now of anybody in Major League Baseball. Do you think about that at all, Terry, that you have a chance now? You did it with the Red Sox. Now you got a chance. You almost did it a couple of years ago, but now you got a chance to do this kind of the same thing with the Indians. How about that?
Well, but you know what, and like I said before, it's not our fault or my fault that my dad's teams weren't good enough.
Right.
You know, in the early 60s. And it's hard enough to win now. So no, we really don't think about it. I think that's stuff that for fans, they enjoy the heck out of. I know I go to every University of Arizona basketball game there is, and I used to yell at Lute Olson all the time. He's a Hall of Fame coach.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm a fan. I'm more than a fan of baseball. I mean, it's my whole life. So you don't get caught up in stuff that you can't control because it doesn't help. So I don't do it.
But let me go back to the Red Sox thing. Did you realize the magnitude of what you guys accomplished? I mean, that had to go through your mind, Terry.
I'll tell you what I did after it was over. I honestly didn't during. Was, you know, the Yankee series was so chaotic and so roller coasterish. You know, we're down 3-0 and get embarrassed in game three.
Then
we come back, and some of those games were just, you know, 5-6 hour games. I mean, they were just drain you. And then we go into St. Louis and sweep them. And then when we flew back to Boston, that's when it hit me. Because I have never seen reaction like that. I mean, we must have got home at 6 or 7 in the morning, and there were people. Every road was clogged. Every bridge, people were – I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was hard not to be emotional, and I was exhausted. But that's when it hit me.
We're talking to Terry Francona. 1998, 1999, very different than now. What is the biggest difference in managing? Because you are one of the last of an old guard. I look at you, I say you're old school. Is it that different managing all these years later in 2020 as compared to 1999?
You know, yeah, I mean, in some ways it is, some ways it isn't. I mean, it's still baseball, which is good, and I'm glad. There's certainly a lot more information out there. And to be totally honest with you, if you aren't open to trying to learn some of the new stuff, the game's going to pass you by, and I don't want that to happen. But I also don't want to get overwhelmed.
Right.
Our guys are really good about giving me what I want and in a way that I can use it so I don't get overwhelmed and just have numbers flying through my head and, you know, that don't make sense. And we have some really good conversations about what's appropriate and what helps and what doesn't. And they really try to help me with that.
Well, you may not know this, Terry, but we do have something in common. Joe and I, our boss, is a Chernoff. In fact, it is the GM of the Indians' father.
So yes, indeed.
You want to compare
notes? You know what?
Notes?
I actually knew that.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Okay.
I did know that, and he's a wonderful man. I hope you guys feel the same way.
Sometimes. Oh, yeah. I think there are moments.
Yeah. A couple days a week.
Yeah. But, I mean, Cherney is I hate to call my boss a sweetheart, but he is. He listens to me. He allows me to vent. And he has, I mean, to see him grow since I've been there is unbelievable. I mean, some of his conversations now that he has with players, I look at him and I'm like, God, man, I wish somebody would have talked to me like that. Mm. Like, I'm so fortunate, and I know I am. I mean, the guys I work for, they are the best.
Well,
and they treat me like gold.
This answer,
and I love them.
The problem with this great answer that you're giving is it negates the last thing I was going to say, which is, hey, if you're ever fed up, come manage the Mets. We'd love to have you here. But I guess
you know what, guys? That makes me feel good for you to say that. I got to tell you, though, I really don't think if I wasn't in Cleveland, I would probably be done managing because I'm getting to that age where it gets hard.
Yeah.
And because of the people there, I'm still doing it. And because of the people, I just really like the people I work with. And it's so important. And maybe more now as I get older, but I certainly appreciate it.
Well, you got one more place to go after Cleveland, and that is Cooperstown.
There you go.
I think you're going to end up
you'll
there.
You'll be there for sure.
I think so.
I'll let you guys comment on that, man. that's the furthest thing that I've ever thought of. I'll tell you one thing. I'll brag about one thing.
Go ahead.
I think I have been around more good people in the game than any person alive. And I will brag about that. I think I set the record for being around good people. I've been so fortunate, and I know it.
I definitely would think Rico Bronya is in your top five, right, Terry? He's got to be in your top five.
He's in everybody's top five. No, I have a big top five because, I mean, I just – you know, you bring up a name like that, and you go, well, how can he not be? But then you bring up 10 other guys, and you're like, well, how can they not be? I this is what I'm comfortable doing. I mean, we get in the clubhouse, and I'm at home, and I feel like, you know, I like everybody.
Mm. Yep. Terry, we appreciate
really
it, man.
Appreciate it, Terry. Thank you.
I enjoyed it, guys. Take care, okay?
No,
Thank you very much.
Okay, see
Terry
you
Francona is playing in the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.